All right, Psalm 30 tonight, if you would please. Psalm 30, 30th Psalm. We are going to start a series here before long on Wednesday night. I'm just not quite done laying it all out yet, and once we get that done, we'll start that. Psalm 30, I preached on this psalm once or twice, parts of it at least. I was looking, I think the last time was 2006, so it's been a bit. Since then, some of you, of course, weren't yet yourselves, but 2006, we worked on this a little bit, so we're going to pick it up tonight. Great psalm, and David learned some serious lessons in this psalm about himself and about God, and so we're going to work on it a little bit this evening. All right, let's go ahead and read it. Psalm 30, look if you would, please, in verse 1, Psalm 30 and verse 1. David writing, he said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to look at David's education about himself. David's education about himself. Father, we need your help tonight as we approach the scriptures. There's nothing that David learns about himself in this passage that we don't need to learn as well. Lord, there are so many things in this passage, so many directions we could take it and verses that we could apply. And so I pray tonight you just help us to stay focused on this thought this evening, the overall thought of the psalm. And I pray that we'll be students of it, that we'll be ready listeners tonight, and that we'll make application again of your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight in reverence to God's word, or remaining standing, I guess, tonight in reverence to God's word. David's praise, or education, I'm sorry, about himself. All right, if you're all settled in now, ready to go, say amen. All right, first thing I want you to notice in verses 1 through 5 is David's praise in verses 1 through 5. If you notice the superscription, which is what's written just above verse 1, it tells us that this took place in relationship to the dedication of the house of David. And so it doesn't give us a great deal of information about the background of this psalm. It's always handy when we have some information about the background of the psalm and how it came to be. The background for most of the psalms can be found in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. But there's no information here other than that short superscription that we have concerning David's house. Again, we're just simply told that this psalm involved the dedication of David's house. Look, if you will, over in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And keep your finger here for a minute. Don't turn away immediately. But in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David's house, or the construction of David's house, is mentioned a couple times in the Word of God. One of those is in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies. And the king said unto Nathan, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth in curtains. And this is where David got the idea that, you know, he wanted to build a house for God as well, since he had a house. And dedications, it talks about the dedication of David's house. Dedications were a big deal in Israel. Whenever they built something, they oftentimes dedicated it, and it included praise and thanksgiving for God's goodness. In other words, it was a recognition that whatever it is they were dedicating was the result of God's blessing on their life and God's provision. And Deuteronomy 20, verse 5, you don't need to turn there, but Deuteronomy 20, verse 5, if Israel was going to war and were headed off to combat and you had built a house, but you had not yet had opportunity to dedicate it, you were released from duty. So you could go home and dedicate your house, even though Israel was going to war. So that should give us some idea about how serious they were about this thing of dedication. If you want to know what a dedication looked like, sometime when you have opportunity, you can turn over and read Nehemiah chapter 12, which is where they dedicated the wall of Jerusalem after it was completed. And there was a big dedication service there as well. And the importance of the dedication of David's house, if you go back a couple chapters, I told you to hang on to that, but go over to 2 Samuel 5. If you go back a couple chapters, you kind of see the significance of David's house. And it says in verse 9, "And so David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David." This is where he establishes the city of David. "And David built a roundabout from Milo and inward. David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. And Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent messengers unto David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons. And they built David a what? House. They built him a house. And it says this in verse 12. Here's the significance of it. "And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake." And so the dedication of the house, through that David perceived the blessings of God on his life and how God had blessed him and established his kingdom and established his rule. And it was important enough to David that apparently he wrote this psalm in Psalm 30 to commemorate the dedication and to commemorate the finish of the house. And so David wrote this to be sung. Of course, we understand the psalms for the most part were songs. And so this was written to be sung as a part of that dedication service. Now, in praising God for his house, which represented, again, how God had established David, David thought not just of that, but he also thought of past deliverances that God had brought into his life. So he's thinking about in this psalm the dedication of the house, and he's thanking God for that and has this song and praising God for that. But in the psalm, as you read it, you'll see that he's also thinking about past deliverances that God has brought into his life. So he's thinking about the blessing of the house that's reminding him of how good God has been to him in the past. And so he brings up these deliverances. Now, I read a lot of commentaries on this passage, and a lot of them had a lot of ideas about what these deliverances were or what he was talking about when he talked about being delivered. And among those guesses, which is what it is, but among those guesses, there were things like this. He was rejoicing here because God had delivered him from his enemies and from the danger they represented. Look in verse 1. "For thou hast lifted me up, thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." So he mentions here past deliverances concerning his enemies. And then if you'll notice in verse 2 and 3, some thought maybe this had to do with deliverance from serious physical condition or serious physical illness. It says in verse 3, "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, and that I should not go down to the pit or to the grave." And so some think, well, maybe he's referring here to deliverance because of some serious health condition. Then in verse 5, some think maybe he was praising the Lord here for deliverance from chastisement as a result of sin that he had brought on himself. It says in verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment." Talks about how in his favor is life. "Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And then he says at the end of verse 7, "I was troubled." And he talks about how God had hid his face from him. So some think this deliverance had to do with chastisement that he had brought on himself. It could be, some guess, that it could be deliverance from just a trial of some sort in which he felt he was in over his head. You ever been in a trial where you feel like you're in over your head? Verse 10, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." This is David just crying out for help because of some trial or difficulty that was way outside his ability to deal with. And then some guess that it could have to do with some period of mourning or sorrow in his life, a result of some loss that he had experienced. In verse 11, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." And so some think that perhaps this all has to do with some sorrow or something that he was mourning over. And so we have all these different guesses as to what the deliverances were or the deliverance was that David here is referring to. Now, we have no way of knowing what he might have been referring to, because it doesn't say particularly. And to be honest with you, I don't think it matters that we know exactly what he's referring to. As a matter of fact, I think if they can guess, I can guess. I think that we should assume that he's not referring to any one particular thing. I think we should assume that he's referring perhaps to all the above, to all of these things that had gone on in his life and the different things that he experienced in his life. One thing's for sure, he was thinking about events, plural. He was thinking about events that were beyond his ability to deal with. And so he had nowhere to turn to but the Lord. Be it enemies or health or challenges, whatever it might be, these all represented things that were over his head. Now, I think if we had the talent, maybe you do, I don't, but I think if we had the talent, those of us who are older and older in the Lord, I think many of us could sit down, if we had the talent to do so, and write a personal psalm, you know, about all that God has delivered us from. And I think if we were to do that, it would contain more than one thing. I think many of us could say, well, God delivered me from an enemy, someone who was out to get me or slandering me. God delivered me out of a serious health circumstance. God delivered me from a serious financial challenge. God delivered me from a trial in which I thought I was over my head. Did I say physical? Physical condition? I don't remember what I said. But he delivered me from a bad, terrible memory, you know, as I got older. But God delivered me from many things. And so I think all of us who are, especially, and I'm not saying that younger people can't, but the longer you've been alive, the more experience you have. And so I think, you know, those maybe a little older and been with the Lord for a long time could write a psalm and mention many of the things that David mentioned in this psalm. So I don't think David's necessarily referring to one thing, but he's referring to the experiences. Because David at this point is an older man. So I think David is referring to the various circumstances and situations that God has delivered him from over the years. And as he's thinking about how blessed he is now to have this house, which he says in 2 Samuel 5, he understood to mean that God has now established him on the throne and established his lineage on the throne. And he's just thinking back about how good God has been to him and how God has delivered him out of these trials. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay, I'll try it one more time. Y'all with me? Okay. Don't leave me up here all by myself. So I'm not sure, again, that it matters what specific circumstances David wrote about as much as this. I think the most important thing that we can get out of Psalm 30 is what David learned from all of it. So it's not so much important that we focus on exactly which trial it is as it is David learned something that's important in this psalm. And I think the most important thing is that we learn what it was that David learned. And so that's what we're going to kind of focus on. So I want you to notice what happened. Whatever was going on, David felt that he was in over his head, out of control, that his hope was faltering, whatever it may be. And so whatever the circumstance was, David feels overwhelmed by it. He feels as if, as I said a moment ago, he's in over his head. He mentions feeling as if he's in a pit at some time or another in these circumstances that were going on. But whatever it was, we find out in verses 1 through 3 that God stepped in. So in the midst of whatever it was, be it health or mourning or whatever it may be, in this time in which he needed deliverance, God stepped in. Now, if I were sitting out there somewhere, I would say amen, because it's a blessing that when I'm in the worst of circumstances, God can step in. And God absolutely stepped in here. I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord. Look at these words. He says, for thou hast lifted me up. He says, in the midst of whatever it was, or all of the above, it says that God lifted me up. If you study that phrase, God lifted me up, it is the same words that's used of lowering a bucket. I'm not making this up. It's the same words used of lowering a bucket into a well and drawing the water out. And so he says, God reached into the bottom of the well. God reached into the pit. God reached into the depths of whatever circumstance that he was dealing with. And David says, God just flat lifted me up. He stepped in and lifted me up in the midst of my circumstance, in the midst of my trial. This goes to God's ability to deliver. This idea that God can just step in and lift me up goes to his ability to deliver us. Now think about this. David didn't climb out of his circumstances. David didn't climb out of his circumstances. His whatever it may have been, his being pursued by the enemy, his sickness, his sorrow, his trial, whatever it was, he didn't climb out of these things in his own power. He didn't think his way out of it. He didn't plan his way out of it. He didn't work his way out of it. He didn't crawl his way out of it. He didn't find his way out of it. The Bible says that God had to step in and lift him up. And listen, we know tonight, and I don't think I need to belabor this point, there are things in life that you don't climb your way out or crawl your way out or think your way out or plan your way out or figure your way out as God's people. God's got to step in and lift us up. And I'm so thankful tonight that we have a God that despite how bad things are, how over our head things are, He can, if it's within His providential will to do so, step in and lift us up. And so David says, I just want to praise God for how He can step in and just lift us up. God lifted him up, stepped in, and delivered him. You know, God can do that. He can step in and deliver us. He just reached down, picked him up out of his circumstances like he was drawing a bucket out of a well. I can picture, when I think about this psalm, that image of a bucket out of a well. I can see David down the bottom of this well, where he finds himself, where he has fallen maybe, and he's screaming for help until he's finally hoarse, and all of a sudden, God just lowers down and helps him out. Because God can certainly step in. God at times delivers us from helpless, hopeless, pitiful, painful circumstances in our life. Now, we all understand, this is a Wednesday night crowd, so I'm going to assume we all understand within His providential will. Because we understand tonight, I would think in this group, we would certainly understand that sometimes God has different plans than we do. Sometimes God has plans for suffering. He has plans for horrible circumstances. He has plans for situations that we don't enjoy. But I'm just saying that when God desires to, He can step in and lift us up. Amen. And He can certainly deliver us. At times, we see no way out, and God just reaches down and delivers us out of our circumstance when we see no answer. Listen, just like He parted the Red Sea and made a way when there was no way. Just like when He poured water out of a rock when there was no water. Just like He rained bread out of heaven when there was no food. Just like He delivered from the fiery furnace when there was no chance. Just like He reached down and shook that old prison and loosed every man's bonds when there was no way of escape. Just like He provided help for that man who was sitting by the pool when there was no man to help him into the healing waters. And God provided a help for the helpless. Just like He delivered that man's son who was demon-possessed and was throwing himself into the fire and cutting himself. When this father had exhausted all options, and God provided an option when there was no option. And just like God delivered man, delivered us from sin when there was no deliverer, and just like God provided a Savior when we had no Savior, God can step in and He can deliver us when He desires to. God can, if it's within His providential will to do so, just step in, pick us up out of our trouble and our circumstances like drawing a bucket out of a well. And He can do it any time and in any way, in any means that His providential will deems necessary. Amen. Amen? Secondly, though, notice this. God not only lifted David out, but the term lifted up, that phrase, I don't want to get into all the weeds of the language, but that phrase lifted up points to how God did it. And how God did it was suddenly. Suddenly. Think about it this way. God, in the midst of David's trials, threw David a lifeline. So it goes not only to God's ability to deliver, but the way that God delivers. And oftentimes the way God delivers is when we think there's no hope and He does it suddenly. Amen. David was sinking fast at the bottom of his circumstances and not knowing how he was going to get out. Suddenly, from above, if you want to think about it this way, came a lifeline out of nowhere that he had never seen coming. Kind of like I said a moment ago, it's like the picture of him sitting in the bottom of a well and screaming till he was hoarse for deliverance, and all of a sudden a rope comes flying. Listen, if you were in the bottom of a well, I had never been in the bottom of a well, but if you're in the bottom of a well and you're screaming and no way to get out, you've screamed to your horse, and all of a sudden a rope comes flying over the top, man, you'd be doing some rejoicing. I would be. after I got out of the well. Amen. I'd be doing some rejoicing over that. A lifeline we had no idea was coming, and then suddenly the thing we feared so much and worried about for so long is over. And our feet are on a rock. Listen to me tonight. If you don't get anything else out of this, get this. This is why you never, ever give up on God. Amen. Never. You never give up on God. Amen. Because God, we think things are horrible and terrible and we can't see any way out of it. And if God, let me emphasize again, in his providential will desires to do so, he can deliver in a moment. He can deliver in ways that we didn't see coming. God can drop a lifeline out of nowhere. Right. We don't ever give up on God. Amen. Never. Because God can deliver when he sees fit to do so. And can I say this? There's no feeling, no greater praise than when God has lowered you a lifeline where there was no hope. It will loosen your tongue. It'll get you excited. It'll keep you awake on a Wednesday night. It'll loosen your tongue. It'll get you excited. It'll make you want to praise him. When God throws a lifeline out of nowhere and delivers you out of something you thought could never take place, man, that'll get you excited. This explains why David broke forth in praise because of God's deliverance. He says in verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord. That word extol means to hold up on high. I'm going to lift up God because of what he's done in my life. We ought to lift him up all the time. But I'm going to lift him up because I was in a pit and God threw me a lifeline out of nowhere. Suddenly, without even realizing what was happening, God brought deliverance where I thought it was impossible. And I just want to praise him. Then it also caused David to want others to join him in praise. Listen, when God's done something in your life and God has thrown you a lifeline, you want to praise him and you want other people to get excited about it too. Amen. So look what David says in verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He says, get excited about God's deliverance and what God can do. So we see his praise. But then secondly, I want you to notice this. I want you to see his instruction. God instructs, or he gets some instruction here in several different ways. And the instruction is certainly about God, but even more so about himself. Sometimes we need to learn something about ourselves. And so David here praises the Lord. And then we see this instruction, as I said, which involved several things. So notice this first thing that David is instructed about. He comes to a realization in his affliction. So first we see David's realization about himself, I could add, in his affliction. Notice what it says in verse 6. He says, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. He said, in my prosperity, he said, I shall never be moved. David said, in my prosperity, the time before my trial, the time before my enemy, the time before my sickness, the time before my circumstances, the time before my financial loss, the time before my mourning, the time before my loss, he said, I will never be shaken spiritually. My resolve and my confidence in God will never be rattled. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. That word prosperity means a time of peace, a time of tranquility. Probably a good word would be normalcy. He said, when everything was normal in my life, and everything was going well in my life, I said to myself, I will never be moved, which means to totter. He said, I will never totter. I will never be shaken because of my confidence in God. You know, things had been going well, and he saw others whose resolve to trust God had been shaken. And apparently, based on verse 6, he thought to himself, though maybe he never verbalized it, though I guess he did in verse 6, and that is, I'll never be shaken. My faith will never totter. I will trust God no matter what. Nothing's going to get to me. It's kind of like, not much different, is it, than Peter in Matthew 26 when he said, though all men be offended by thee, I will never be offended by thee. My faith will never be shaken. I will always trust no matter what everybody else does. I am not the type of person who will be shaken in their faith. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be shaken. But then came the enemy. Then came the sickness or the mourning or the sorrow or the trial or the circumstances that came into his life. Circumstances that were beyond David's power, beyond David's ability in himself. Are you all tracking with me? All right, David says in verse 6, in my prosperity, I said, I'll never be shaken. I'm not like that Sam Varghese, you know, or that Abernathy guy. I'll never be shaken. I'm not like Peter. Oh, Peter wasn't alive yet. I'll never be shaken in those things. I'm just going to trust God. Why can't people just trust God? What they need to do is just trust the Lord and let God work it out. David said, in my prosperity, that's what I said. But then all of a sudden came my sickness and came my mourning and came my loss and came my trial and came my circumstances. And I found myself in a situation that was beyond my ability. And then in this psalm, the thing that David comes to understand is this, that I was so foolish and I was so ignorant and I was so spiritually proud that I thought my faith could never be shaken. I would never think that way. I would never totter in my faith. Which is certainly easy to do when everything is normal. I cannot understand those who seem to be shaken in their faith. David's point is, until now. Until now. You know, tonight, it's so easy to be like David when it comes to this. When you are in your prosperity. When everything in your life is normal. You know, when everything in your life is peaceful. When everything is tranquil. Don't you love those periods? Some people, you know, I love a good trial. Not me. I love a good normal life. I love tranquility. I don't like having my boat rocked. Amen? I like it when everything, I am not disappointed and boring in the least. But all of a sudden, these things came upon David. You know, it's so easy to be like David when it comes to this. We can be safe for a while. You know, when we begin to feel strong enough that we would never say it out loud. But we can think like David in verse 6. You know, we may not verbalize, but we can come to think about others. You know, hey, I know they're going through a hard thing right now. I know they're going through some terrible circumstances. I know they're facing a serious enemy. I know they're going through a real trial right now, but they just need to trust God. They just need to quit whining and trust God. That's what they need to do. Just trust in Him. Why can't they just trust in Him? And again, we never say that out loud, but we can begin to insinuate, well, I wouldn't be moved in that circumstance. I wouldn't totter in that situation. I certainly would not fail. We would never say that out loud, would we? At least not maybe to anybody other than our spouse. We wouldn't say that out loud. And I can assure you this tonight. I know this for certain. If we get too full of ourselves like David kind of does here in verse 6, God can give us a realization about ourselves and the strength of our faith. I tell you something right now, God can let us know just exactly what we're capable of and what we're not. And so David says, in my prosperity, I thought, why can't people just trust the Lord? Why can't they just do this? What's wrong with them? So David gets this realization about himself. Obviously the realization is he isn't quite as strong as he thought he was. But then, so we see David's realization, but then we see some of the lessons David learned from all of this in verses 7 through 10, the lessons that he learned. David said in Psalm 30 in verse 6 that before all this, he felt so spiritually confident in his ability to face whatever came his way. But then the affliction, in his affliction then, whatever it was, or maybe all of them together, he learned a few things about God and about himself. First of all, he learned this. He learned that it was the Lord who was his only true strength. He says in verse 7, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand. He says, I understand that my mountain, my strength, that mountain refers to strength. My strength, I understand now, comes only from you. I understand where the real source of my strength is. It's not my ability to climb out, plan out, figure out. That's not where my strength is. My strength is not my great ability to maintain faith in the midst of circumstances when everybody else is failing. He says, I understand that my strength comes only from you. And God can certainly teach you that. And he certainly taught David that his strength was in the Lord. He came to realize that all God has to do to remind us of where our strength is to hide his face from us for a moment. Look what it says in verse 7. Let Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was what? He said, I understood that if God just hides his face but a moment, I am in trouble. Because I can't stand if God's presence is not with me, if his face is not turned toward me, if God's not answering my prayers and seeing my circumstances, I am in serious trouble. You don't need God if you can climb out. You don't need God if you can plan your way out. You don't need God if you can figure your way out. You don't need God if you can crawl your way out or work your way out. David comes to realize he can't do any of that stuff. And he realizes his real strength is in the Lord, and he comes to understand without God's help, if God were to turn away his face for a moment, he would be in trouble. But then secondly, he learned that despite his great spiritual growth, his experience, his strength, his maturity, his talents, and his abilities, he learned that there were a few things in life that he was not strong enough to face on his own. Excuse me, it says in verse 8, I cried unto the Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And he says this in verse 10, Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. David comes with a stark realization right here that he needs help, and he needs God's help. And he says, Lord, be thou my helper. We need to grow in the Lord. And we need to grow in the Lord to the point that we can deal with some of the trials of life. Listen, everything, every challenge, every bump in the road, every trial we face is not a nuclear event. All right? Some of God's people, it seems like every little thing that comes into life, every trial, every bump in the road is some kind of like a nuclear event. And we need, and I'm not making fun of that, but there needs to come a point where we can deal with some of the issues of life, where we can encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we can deal with the trials of this life is a life of trouble. And we need to come to a place where we can deal with some of those things on our own. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. But though that's true, we never want to forget what David learned, that no matter how long we've been saved, or how strong we think we are, or how strong everyone else thinks that we are, there are things in this life that we cannot face without faith in God. Without God's help, without God's attention, without God strengthening us, without God holding up our mountain, without God helping us, we can't face it. Circumstances in which all we can do, come on, there are circumstances in this life that all we can do is what David did. Lord, please save me from my enemy. Lord, be thou my helper. Lord, please heal me. Make my mountain to stand. Lord, please bring my soul up out of the low place and out of the pit. Lord, please don't hide your face from me. Have mercy on me. Lord, be thou my helper. There are times we can't turn, Lord, hear my cry. There are times we can't turn to another one of God's people for help. We can only turn to him. And so there are times when we find ourselves in over our head. And so David learns this. And then thirdly, we've seen David's realization in his affliction. We've seen these lessons that he has learned in his affliction. But then in verse 11 and 12, we see the result of all of this. It says in verse 11 and 12, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And I want you to notice this, and we'll be done. I want you to notice David's, how all of this now has turned to David's confidence. You think, well, boy, that's discouraging. I mean, you know, that there's stuff that's over your head, things you can't crawl your way out of or work your way out of or figure your way out of or plan your way out of. Boy, that's just discouraging to even think about. No, it's not. When you think as David thought, David now comes to a great realization that he has a God who can be a great help to him, and his confidence through all of this has been multiplied. Notice the contrast. Are you picking up on this, the contrast? Between verse 6, where David says, In my prosperity, I said, I won't be moved. I'm not like normal people. You know, I won't be moved. Notice the contrast between that and verse 10, where now he says, Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise, not of himself, but of who? That I may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. He goes from this confidence in verse 6, to the time we get to verse 11, he's learned these lessons, he's come to this realization, and now the time we get to verse 11 and 12, he just says, God is my help. Just want to praise God for how he's able to help me. He thought he was strong before, but now that the source of his confidence and the source of his help has been made clear and has been realigned, he's stronger now than he ever was. Secondly, his praise was no longer focused on his ability to stand, but his praise for deliverance was where it should be. It was in God. It says in verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. He's not singing praise to himself anymore as he was in verse 6. He's singing praise unto God because he realizes how weak he truly is. Only in God can you talk about how out of control life can be. Only in God can you talk about how we can't crawl out, pull ourselves out, plan ourselves out, work our way out, figure our way out. Only in God can our confidence be strengthened. Knowing all of that, because we have a God who can throw us a lifeline when it's in his will to do so at any moment. He can do it completely. He can do it absolutely. He can do it any way he wants to, whenever he wants to, and he can do it as suddenly as he desires to. There's many of us in this room could say that at some point I was going through this thing and I didn't know what I was going to do, and suddenly God took care of it. God dealt with it. Now we understand that, and I'll close. God doesn't always do that. We know that sometimes we have to go through things, and God allows us to deal with things. And we learn from that, that even when God doesn't deliver immediately, we can trust in him. And whether we find out now or when we get to glory, we know that God has a plan. And we'll be able to praise him. If we can't see it now, we'll be able to praise him when we get to glory for what God has done in our life and how God has worked. So we know that for whatever reason, known only to God, he does not choose to deliver or deliver the way we want. But even in those cases, he is our strength. And we still are not to be moved. But when it is his will, he can drop a line to us. He can draw us out. We just need to trust in him and give up any notion. If you don't get anything, get this. Give up any notion that we somehow can face anything, because we shall not be moved. We ought not ever look at somebody going through something and think, what is wrong with him? Why don't they just trust the Lord? That's true. They should do that. But the problem is sometimes we look at them and think, you know, I never say it out loud, but I don't know why they can't be just like me and just trust the Lord. Just have confidence in him. I got news for you. There may come a day where God gives you an education about yourself that you may not be as strong as you think. Now, let me say this again. And I'll pray. Does that mean they shouldn't trust the Lord? No, they should. Amen? They should have absolute confidence in him and trust in him. Absolutely. Just as we should. But we got to be careful when we become to the point like David here has this moment where he's become strong enough now that he thinks, why can't people be like me? And just trust in him. And God showed him just how weak he was. And here's the weird thing. He was stronger for it. Because God exposed his weakness, and David finally says, I came to realize it's God who holds my strength. It's God who stands up my mountain. And if he turns his face, I have no help. And he ends up this psalm, the time he's done, as he does so many of the psalms, just praising God for his goodness. Listen tonight, we need to trust in him, absolutely. But when we're going through something, it could be finances, it could be health, it could be mourning. Listen, there's no end in this life, is there, to things we can be going through. And we do need to trust in him and come to the realization that he is our help. And always keep in mind, this could be the day God delivers us. This could be the day God turns our mourning into rejoicing. This could be the day God meets this need. this could be the day God fixes it. This could be the day God takes care of it. Don't ever give up on him, ever. And if he doesn't fix it today, if he doesn't change it tomorrow, you can still trust in him. Amen? Because God will never fail you if we just trust in him. Why don't you stand with me, if you will.